The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning to you all. Ryan Tubridy with you this Thursday morning. It is the 10th of October 2019 at 4 minutes past nine. We're here till 10. The text number 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. Kind of puzzled by a few things this morning. One, how do you say Samoa correctly? I've heard two different pronunciations a lot in the last 24 hours. One is Samoa, like Mr. Samuel Oa, Samoa. And the other is Samoa. I would be the other one, Samoa. Now, I don't know which one's the correct one, but if anyone is from Samoa or Samoa, would you let us know by text where the emphasis should be? Because we're going to be talking about Samoa or Samoa for a lot in the next little while, because Typhoon Hagibis, I'm saying that like I know it, is on its way to Japan to wreck everything. I mean, imagine if you're a little team playing a big team and suddenly the typhoon is threatening everything and you get a draw against the All Blacks. It kind of makes a mockery of the whole tournament in some ways, but then could you plan for that? I was thinking, well, natural disaster is going to happen. Can you imagine the heat of Qatar, you know, running around as pasty footballers from Europe trying to breathe? I mean, we had trouble breathing, didn't we, against the Japanese ourselves the last time. A lot of sweat in the house. But anyway, that typhoon is now the third person in our relationship in that match. In our forthcoming match, because we have to make sure that the wind stays away. And Jamie Heaslip will be joining us on the Late Late Show tomorrow night, and he will be our Met Aaron in an Irish jersey, kind of guiding us through the storm and letting us know what happens as we march on to the next level. The other thing that puzzles me a bit this morning is Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar are meeting in the UK today. Why the secrecy? Why no cameras? Why no filming? Why no idea of the location? It's very unusual in the modern age. And I'm just curious as to why this is happening. I don't believe for a moment that the Taoiseach is responsible for that level of secrecy. But what's happening over in the UK that we can't have a look? And they've made it worse, because now I want to see what I previously didn't care about seeing necessarily. Now I want to see it more. Nevertheless, they must have their reasons. I don't know. Since I last met you, I was in at the National Archives in Bishop Street in Dublin yesterday evening and talking to a room of like-minded history souls, I suppose you could say. A bunch of people from all over the country came to have a listen and have a chat. Anyway, the more interesting bit, whatever about my spiel, was the Q&A, the questions and answers afterwards. We got some really interesting conversations going about teaching history and trying to make it interesting for younger children, but also great story. Well, somebody asked me a question about what I think about older people manning, I'm sure that's not the right word now, but working in things like museums and tourist offices and everything. And I loved the question, because I always refer to the time I was in New Orleans and going to the, and also more recently just outside New York, and going into the local tourist office and finding people in their late 70s and early 80s working there. And they're the people with all the knowledge. Whereas if you ask a younger person about where this place is, they'll probably Google it. And the idea of older people staying in the workforce, if they want to, even in voluntary capacity, to help the tourism business and the history business, made an awful lot of sense. And this lovely lady then told me, another woman, was saying that she was on a train from New York to Washington, D.C., and on at the train station, beautiful train station in D.C., if you've never been, go. On hopped an active retirement group from Washington or New York. They were heading back to New York. And for about half an hour on the train between one city and the next, in each carriage, somebody from the active retirement, obviously into the history, stood up and gave a brief history randomly to the people on the train of the terrain they were passing through and what they might look out for and see. Oh, what a great idea. Active retirement group standing up in the train, Dublin to Cork, Galway, wherever it might be, and giving us a little rundown on the history of the place. I think that would be a brilliant idea. Anyway, it was a lovely way to spend some time. Met great people, learned a lot, and just lovely to see the interest in this country and in history. Although I'm a bit depressed. The Daily Telegraph, which is increasingly becoming, it's kind of disgracing itself. It's kind of getting a little bit embarrassing, even though they have some great journalism in it and some great articles down through the years. But the cartoon they have today is essentially Boris Johnson throwing his toys out of the pram, and the EU throwing their toys out of the pram. And right there in the middle of the toys is Ireland represented as a shamrock-clutching leprechaun. And you just think, you know what? Have we learned nothing? Have we not moved on? It's just a bit... It's not that I don't have a sense of humour, you know, but it just... you can do better than that. But then, it's the Telegraph. Should we be expecting anything less? Probably not. How do you feel when someone says to you in the morning when you walk into your office or your kitchen, you look wrecked? Are we okay with that? I've often found that it makes one... If you feel tired and someone says you look tired, it makes you feel twice as tired again and actually probably puts you in kind of bad form. You look wrecked. You're all right. And the person doesn't mean it. I don't think there's any badness in it. I don't think they're trying to reduce you or whatever. But the reason I'm mentioning this is because there is a bird in a lot of the papers today and that bird looks wrecked. And if the bird was alive, the bird died. Kind of exhausting, actually, because it was that wrecked. You kind of look at it and say, oh, that bird looks really tired. I wouldn't say it to them, I just think it. And Lynn Kelleher has the story. I'm looking at the Irish Independent's version of it. And she said the bird lovers are all in a flutter because it's the first ever record of an extremely rare American bird was logged in Ireland. The male least bittern, B-I-T-T-E-R-N, that's the name of the bird, was found in the garden of Kerry pensioner John O'Donoghue, pictured right. It's so rare that the Natural History Museum, the Dead Zoo, is to preserve it in its vaults. It's thought to have been blown across the Atlantic by Hurricane Lorenzo, thousands of miles off course from its normal migration route from America to Mexico. It's the first sighting of the bird in Ireland or mainland Europe, and only the 10th ever in the Western, in this part of the world anyway, which takes in Europe, piece of North Africa, and West Asia, with 8 of them being found in the Azores and 1 in Iceland. Anyway, the bird died of exhaustion, sadly. Imagine having made that journey 30 minutes after he was found, collapsed in the garden of Mr. O'Donoghue. But he's been preserved, and he will live long in the memory as he gets displayed in the Natural History Museum forever and ever. Amen. But he still looks wrecked. I'm not going to get into great detail about the Colleen Rooney story, only on the basis that every time I turn on the radio, someone's talking about it. But I do like what the Irish Sun did with it in terms of their treatment of it. They've done a kind of an old whodunit novel, a Wagatha Christie Rue Dunnett. I mean, they're having a ball in the tabloids over there, starring Colleen as Hercule Poirot. And they're shoehorning it all in there, so it's good. It's a great old story. Fair play to Colleen Rooney, if it's completely true, because Rebecca seems to have taken a legal advice, and this is going to get messy and messy and messy. But as somebody suggested earlier, I think the reason that everyone's talking about it so much, even Morning Ireland did a literary adaptation of it, and I think the reason that everyone's so latching onto the story is because they're so bored of Brexit. Or not even bored of it, but just overwhelmed by it. They needed a colourful distraction, and there it is, the colour in a grey world. The Nobel Prize for Literature is to name two winners after the scandal hit here. Do you remember that? They had to stop handing out the awards. Two winners are set to be named because the prize was not awarded in 2018. So the Swedish Academy, which oversees the prestigious award, suspended it to make changes to its processes after it was engulfed in a sexual assault scandal. The husband of Academy member Katarina Frostenson was sentenced to 2 years in prison in October after being convicted of rape. So she stepped down, and the event sparked a crisis in the organisation, and now they had to, so they cancelled it for 2018, but it's back, and there's two prizes being handed out, one of which they suspect may go to Margaret Atwood, which we shall watch and see with interest. And Gina Davis, who I haven't seen acting for a long time, but she was a great actor in the 90s, and she's also now a full-time equality campaigner. And she's announced that Disney has adopted a digital tool. And this tool is called GDIQ, Spell Check for Bias. What happens is, when they get a script into the studios, the tool will process the script and analyse it and identify opportunities to rectify any gender and ethnic biases. That's what it is. And the machine learning tool described as an intervention tool to infuse diversity and inclusion in entertainment and media has been developed and is designed to analyse a script and determine the percentages of characters, gender, race, LGBTQIA and disabilities, and it can also track the percentage of non-gender defined speaking characters. So it's another hoop, and they're going to have to jump through to get it right. That's where that's at. Okay, so that's the papers by and large. 51551 is the text number. We have a great actor, Killian Scott, and a great scriptwriter, Sarah Phelps, standing by to come in and join us to talk about Dublin Murders, which is, among other things, and we will get to that in a few minutes' time. I should also tell you that tomorrow night on The Late Late Show, we're very excited about all of our guests. But the one that is kind of attracting a lot of attention is the man who has become something of a figure of great interest because of many things, including his booming voice.
Order! Order! Order!
The Honourable Gentleman has got to learn the art of patience. And if he is patient, if he deploys Zen, he will find that it is ultimately to everybody's advantage. So we'll leave it there.
Won't we, though? Yes, John Bercow joining us on The Late Late Show tomorrow night to be talk about, I think it's his first ever Irish interview.
Order!
Yes, and we'll see what he has to say about this, that, and everything else in between. At 9:14, let's kick off with Jamiroquai. 51551 is the text number. We're open for business. That's Jamiroquai, Virtual Insanity at 9:18 this Thursday morning. Very nice to have you with us. Last night's is the text on Newsnight on BBC Two. Emily Mattis questioned the value of the Varadkar visit and suggested that it was a vanity visit. No press and no fuss gives the lie to this, though. No Downing Street moments, perhaps symbolically. They're trying to meet halfway. Siobhan says on the Telegraph cartoon, it's not funny. We're in a bad enough state without papers taking the mick out of us. And Brendan says it's brilliant that the meeting between Boris and Leo is happening out of the glare of the media. So often discussions are detailed before reaching a destination because an interim position is not allowed the space to develop into something more nuanced and complete. Media practitioners understandably hate this with a vengeance, but I personally wish it would happen much more for delicate negotiations. Okay, that's a good point too. On the train, I'd rather a carriage full of can-drinking hens and stags than someone standing up to give the whole carriage a history of Port Arlington. Well, I think that's very dismissive of history and Port Arlington. And I would love to put you in a, I'd love to put you in a carriage full of can-swilling hens and stags as we sit in the other carriage, listening to a very, very concise, coherent and intriguing lecture on the history of the people and the places and the pubs and the punters of Port Arlington. Yeah, yeah. 51551. Questions have to be asked as a text about the wisdom of holding major sports tournaments in places and at times that are prone to such dangerous weather events. I agree, Ken. The word wrecked, you're covering all angles here this morning. Thank you for all the texts. The word wrecked means something entirely different in the UK. It means really drunk, as you probably already know, and it's frowned on in the workplace there. I learned early on to stop using this word outside Ireland. Oh yeah, there are many, many times the words can be confusing. So, but here it really does refer to you looking exhausted. In tours of Robben Island in South Africa, former inmates and guards give the tours both authentic and moving. So a definite yes for older people giving historical tours. Yeah, hear, hear on that one too. Speaking of making history interesting to children, a text says, have you had a chance to visit the Jackie Clark collection in County Mayo? Yes, we have. Did a show from pretty much outside the place along the Wild Atlantic Way there in Ballina, and then went in for a tour of the place and promised to go back when I had time on my own, and I will. But anyway, back to your, Sinead McCool curated it over a number of years and it's just extraordinary. If you haven't been, go. But you say the education department currently has an old-fashioned cinema set up in the collection for primary school children to visit and learn about social history, old films, etc. Great way of bringing the subject to life. Wonderful. And what a good idea of yours for older people, says Jack, standing on trains giving history lectures. As a history teacher who holds a travel pass and who never gets a seat on the train, it would be a diversion at least for me. It'd just be a wonderful thing to do. All right, the text is 51551. It's 21 minutes past 9.